had a premonition of your death.
Hello and welcome to episode 118 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that is all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Alrighty, so we got two big movie reviews for you today. We are going to do a semi-big review, semi-slash hot topic-ish kind of thing of The Conjuring. Basically, it's just going to be a shorter review of The Conjuring and a longer review of Warcraft. There you go. First up, The Conjuring, and obviously I'm getting that one because I'm obsessed with that in horror. So the synopsis for The Conjuring 2 is Lorraine and Ed Warren travel to North London to help a single mother raising four children alone in a house plagued by malicious spirits. A plus for you, IMDb. So that is what the movie is about. Conjuring, the first one, which came out in 2013, was my favorite movie of that year. So I walked into this thing pretty with expectations that were so sky high that I didn't think there was any chance I was going to like this movie. But I wound up loving it. Not as much as I loved the first one, but I liked it well enough. I think James Wan did a lot of great things in this, very similar to what he did in the first movie. My favorite part about this movie wasn't necessarily Ed and Lorraine Warren, even though I think Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are fantastic in the roles, and I'm fascinated by the real Warrens. But I think the best part about the movie is the family, and appropriately, he spends a lot of time with the family building their bonds and stuff so that when the hauntings start happening, they're more meaningful than you might expect. There are jump scares in the movie, but what makes the movie so haunting is partially how the family is threatened and how loved ones could lose their lives, and also some of the visuals, of course.
But before we get there, I agree with a lot of what you said, but I want to jump on the jump scares thing because jump scares get a really bad rap, and I'm kind of sick of it because there are cheap jump scares. Like, for instance, in the forest earlier this year, there's like a moment where a homeless guy throws himself in a window, and there's like a pang, like "wah!" sound, which is like cheap. That's a total cheap jump scare. What Juan does is so much more thoughtful than that, because he knows what you're anticipating. Like, everybody's seen the mirror gag where someone sees something in the mirror behind them, and then they turn around and it's not there, and then they turn around and it's closer. But, like, he does it in a way we haven't seen before, where he knows what you anticipate and plays with it slightly so that it fucks with your expectation and then scares you on a new twist because you...
Well, I wouldn't even call those jump scares, though. Like, the way he shoots those things, it's not like you get scared because something pops up. I mean, some of the times in this movie, you're scared because you are looking into the face of a really creepy demon for an extended period of time.
Well, that is true. That seems amazing. But there's also, like, a lot of people count when tension is built and then there's a release as a jump scare, and I feel like the word jump scare gets used way too often. This movie does have some jump scares, but more or no, overall, it has Juan really playing with tension and suspense to the point where I didn't realize I did this until this movie. I tend to wear hoodies to screenings, and I'll like pull part of the hoodie up to cover my face whenever I'm freaking out a little bit because I feel unprofessional screaming like a child in movies. And so this time I did not wear a hoodie, so I was like trying to figure out how to handle my tension, and I ended up holding like my little critic's notebook over my face like children do with fucking blankets. Like, that's how scared I was for a good 40 minutes of this movie. And I think it's a very well done horror movie. I think it's one tapping back into like the 1970s horror that he's clearly a fan of, where it feels like Exorcist, it feels like Poltergeist, it feels like Jaws, where, as Perry said, they focus so much on the characters and the family that you feel emotionally invested and not just like, let's watch the bodies go down. Like, it's really traumatizing and upsetting in a way that's emotionally rewarding and rich. And, like, of course, the acting's amazing. Like, Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson are outstanding, but so is Frances O'Connor. Yeah, okay, I think it's like
yeah.
A middle checker.
I'm pretty sure you got it.
Thank you. She's a British actress who was in Mansfield Park ages ago, and, like, at the time I was like, she's gonna blow up and be huge, but she's not, because life is unfair. But she's so good in this.
She's really good in it, and so is that little girl, Madison Wolf, who plays Janet. And
you took the words out of my mouth. She's awesome.
That kid is something else. It is, I mean, it's pretty damn crazy how she goes from nice, normal, likable little girl, and then, I mean, a pure demon. It really disturbs me that kids are able to do that, because what she does in the movie is absolutely horrific. But I want to just, before, because we're not going to have too much time left, I want to touch on the thing that I didn't like about the movie. So I don't want this to sound too negative, because I really did love the movie and I'm going to watch it again. The thing that made me feel more disappointed than I would have liked is the fact that, you remember in the first Conjuring how we had the Annabelle sequence in the beginning? And the Annabelle sequence had almost nothing to do with what happened in the rest of the movie. It was there pretty much, you know, for a fun little cold open and to introduce the Warrens and what they do. This movie had it also, but this movie tried to tie it into the rest of the movie. And there was some sort of personal through line with the Warrens that didn't quite connect to the big reveal in the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you think back, it doesn't really make much sense, and there's a certain scene that seems to be in there as a matter of convenience because they had to wrap the movie up and had to give an explanation for something, and even though it is so exposition heavy and them laying the points out so thickly, it doesn't even make sense.
It's funny because I have a similar issue in that I like this movie a lot, but I feel like it's almost 2.5 hours long, which is just too long. Like, he gets a little indulgent with, like, there's kind of too many monsters, there's kind of too much exposition. There's, like, one part where a character who has, like, 5 lines all of a sudden has a huge monologue about why he's a paranormal investigator. And I think it's a little bit that Juan is so precious to the true story that, like, he wants to make sure everybody kind of gets their moment. And
it's funny, right after this, I'm talking to the Hayes brothers, the guys that wrote the script, and I plan on asking how much this sticks to the true story. Because
it
feels like to me at the end is a Hollywood contrivance, something where, you know, maybe this element of it tested scarier, so they tried to put it into more of the story. It felt artificial to me.
What I'm saying is that, like, it's like the idea that there are 4 children in that household. You don't need 4 children for the story. In fact, there's one kid who's basically a background actor until, like, one scene where he has relevance, and it's stuff
that's
like
true.
That, where it's just, there's just a little too much, and I wish that Juan had been a little stronger in his edit, because then I think this would be the masterpiece that I think he's striving for. I think he wasn't sure if he'd go back to horror again, so he wanted to go out with this big, powerful, flawless horror film, and I think The Conjuring 2 is very good. I do think it's scarier than the first film. I liked it better than the first film, and I did like the first film, but I think that it's a little too much.
All right, well, we got to wrap this up, so I will highly recommend stop biting me, Dewey. I will highly recommend seeing The Conjuring 2. I do not think it is as good as the first one, but I think this is a high-quality horror movie and a really high-quality sequel as well. I think more sequels should try to do what James Wan did with this, which is stay true to what he established in the original while introducing new things about his main characters and using new techniques as well. So there you have it, The Conjuring 2. Now let's move on to Warcraft. Chrissy, have fun reading the synopsis for this one.
Yeah, I'm like, let me stretch. Okay. The peaceful realm of Azeroth stands on the brink of war as its civilization faces a fearsome race of invaders, orc warriors fleeing their dying home to colonize another. As a portal opens to connect the two worlds, one army faces destruction and the other faces extinction. From opposing sides, two heroes are set on a collision course that will decide the fate of their family, their people, and their home. That's accurate, but it's like they took the same plot synopsis and just kept repeating it in different words, so fine, whatever. But basically, Warcraft is based on the video game Warcraft, which later spawned the very long acronym game World of Warcraft, or WoW. That's about all I feel the need to get into as far as the background of that, because I do think we should talk about the movie as a movie and less about the background. So basically, Duncan Jones, who did Moon and Source Code, is doing his huge budget production, and you've probably heard by now it's getting completely ripped apart by the critics, and I'm introducing it because I liked it. I don't think it is a flawless movie, but from what I do know about that, oh my god. I don't know which one of you just made a little sound, but Christ. Give me a second. So here's the thing. It has a very intense mythos that I am aware of but don't know. Basically, my husband plays WoW, so I'm like aware. Anyway. But I think that they managed to chisel that down into a story that I did find interesting, even though high fantasy sometimes makes me tune out. I thought I really got attached to enough of the characters that I was on board for it, but I admittedly think some of the characters are big snores.
This is a really unfortunate episode to not have video, because we are trying to be respectful, but if you saw my face and Angie's face as Christy was praising the movie, you would probably know that, I guess, Angie, I can speak for you and say you were not a fan like me.
No, I hate it. Like, I know a lot of people, like, flat out hated it. Like, critics have been tearing into it and calling it, like, this is barely a movie. And I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that, but it is kind of exactly what I feared when I saw the trailers, which is, like, a really bland high fantasy epic that, you know, just kind of throws a lot of stuff in there but doesn't give me any reason to care about it. I'm very surprised. I know Christy was saying that, like, what she loves about it is that she cared about the characters, but, like, I really just, like, didn't. Like,
here's
everything
what happened,
was like, a boilerplate.
You
all
and I love different characters completely in this because
it's
I
true,
thought the orcs were really interesting. Like, they had me hooked from, like, here's the orc guy with his pregnant wife, and I thought, I was like, oh, I get that. I relate. I feel
it's
good about it.
A random guy with a pregnant wife. They're like a dime a dozen in movies. I don't
care. Oh my god, but Beardy McBeardface, who's just like, I have an attitude problem,
okay,
and also a dead wife. Like, that's so generic. I couldn't get into Lothar at all.
Let's talk a little bit more in depth about this. So, my favorite thing about the movie is Travis Fimmel, who plays the main character.
Are you kidding me?
This is amazing.
Oh my
Go
god.
On.
Okay, it's Travis Fimmel, who plays the main character, whose name is... I've been calling him Luther and Dewey Sausage.
Luther, no.
Perry's face. Perry just looks, like, rattled.
Well,
okay.
I didn't hate this movie. I'm not walking around saying it isn't a movie, but I walked out of this movie very unhappy. Like, probably more unhappy and angry than I walked out of any movie, because I felt like Warcraft was 2 hours of someone, like, shaking my head and rattling it for 2 hours. I walked out, like, dizzy and angry, and I was bored, and I did not connect to any of these characters.
Wow.
I think the closest I came to liking two of the characters was the cute little wizard kid.
Oh my god, I hate him.
Paula Patton a little.
I liked Paula Patton.
We all liked very different characters, apparently.
This is crazy.
But I also just have a big crush on Rob Kaczynski now, because he was a fabulous interview, and he is just an absolute delight.
Which one is he in the movie?
He's the one in the cast. He plays one of the orcs, and he's the guy in the cast who was a big World of Warcraft fan. So, like,
I know that, because he was on Face Off, and he was
people have been running a lot of stories. But, like, when you hear him talk about it, it's a good thing that I reviewed the movie, and, well, not on this podcast, but that I kind of formulated my opinion on the movie before doing the interview, because he is a delight, and hearing him and Duncan Jones also talk about, you know, all the time, energy, thought, and planning that went into this movie, yeah, it's hard not to feel bad that it's getting panned so hard.
I'm not fucking saying that the people in this movie didn't care about it. They did, and that's actually one of the reasons why it's so disappointing and, like, so bafflingly just, like, generic feeling. Like, you can tell a lot of care went into it. But, like, for example, like, every single line of dialogue in this movie feels like you could, like, pick it up, drop it into The Hobbit, and nobody would know the fucking difference. Like,
ouch,
they're always talking about...
That's not wrong, but,
like,
damn.
Oh, the amulet, blah, 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 and you're just like, okay. And, like, the other thing about this movie is it really just feels like it throws you into the deep end, which is an interesting choice that I don't think really works. Like, I'm not saying that every movie needs to have, like, you know, I don't want, like, 3 movies worth of exposition before we get to this. But it does feel like, you know, you're bringing me into this world that's so different from the one we're in. I need a little something to ground me. And, like, for example, I think the biggest example of this is that, like, there's magic in this universe. And I don't understand what the rules for the spells are. I don't know what the spells are. It kind of just seems like anytime they write themselves into the corner, they're like, I don't know, just have the guy pull a fucking spell out of his ass. And then they're like, oh, wait, no, now we need him to be backed into a corner. Let's just say the spell doesn't work under these weird circumstances that I don't know. Like, it really just feels like this entire universe is operating by rules that they have not bothered to tell me what they are.
Wow, so see, I felt like the orcs were really my entry point, where, like, I cared about the family they introduced in the beginning, and then I understood I intellectually and emotionally was connected to the struggle of them wanting to find a new home for their people. So it sucks, because that means they gotta attack the humans, but also, what are you gonna do, just let your world die? So, like, I got that, and then I really liked Garona, who's the half-orc played by Paula Patton, and I liked how she's torn between, basically, it's like, the orcs treat her like shit, and the humans are like, if you spy for us, we'll, like, make you part of our culture, and she's kind of torn between these two worlds, and I found that very compelling and interesting. So, like, that was enough to kind of keep me going, even though I thought Lothar and his wizard boy buddy were just, I couldn't with that. Like,
Lothar, to me, Travis Fimmel's character, he felt to me like, it was like when I watched The Hobbit, like, Martin Freeman, every time he was on screen, was the only time that movie clicked into place and felt like it was actually about people. I actually feel that way about Travis Fimmel. Like, he has such a
a weird energy that I will admit doesn't... he has a weird energy, I'll give you that, for one thing.
He is the most wooden blah thing I've seen in a movie.
I've never seen Perry this exasperated.
You have to understand, what I noticed early on...
I'm pretty good at being open-minded and understanding when other people like movies that I don't.
I like when you're like, but Angie's opinion is bad and she should feel bad.
Yeah, this is a garbage opinion. Particularly about this character. You could have taken him out of the movie and it would have been a million times better. It would have gotten probably a full letter grade higher from me. I thought he was awful.
He's the only character I like.
I don't want to completely blame him because I also think they kind of freaked out towards the end of the movie and they're like, holy shit, we have no levity, we have no humor. And all of a sudden he went from being like this stoic warrior to spitting out these silly one-liners in the third act.
What are you talking about? Earlier on, but they don't land. Because I realized it thinking back where he's like, I lost my horse. And he's like, really? I was like, that's not really a one-liner.
Okay, let me talk about that though. Not about this character, but that is one of the big problems with Warcraft, I feel like, is that there's so little levity and humor in it. Like, it's not especially a dark and gritty movie. We're not talking about, like, it's not Batman v Superman. Man, but everything is just done with so much gravity and importance and important serious fantasy shit, and you're just like, and like, it makes me really miss having little moments, because the thing that humor adds to a movie like this is personality. Like, it makes you kind of feel like, oh, these people feel alive, these people have distinct individual personas, and this movie doesn't have that at all. There's one scene in the movie where, like, there's like almost no jokes in the movie. There is one scene where someone laughs, and it's because an orc throws a pebble at another orc. I'm like, that's not a fucking joke. Don't laugh.
I do think Ben Foster is really funny. I feel like he is purposely campy in this. Yeah, he is purposely campy in this.
He feels like he's from a different movie. I don't know what he's doing, but I enjoy it.
Maybe he was having fun, but he does not
seem to be enough. I haven't seen Ben Foster be this, like, goofy kind of ever.
This was the most schizophrenic character I've seen in a really long time.
That's because they never explain his motives or give him.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no. His wizard character or mage.
Even in the end, though, I almost didn't even know what to make of him.
I know, no. I've literally seen people walk out of this movie and be like, I don't understand. Is that character a hero? Is he a villain? Like, what
is going on? Here's where I introduce my unpopular opinion.
Even more unpopular than mine, though, because I feel like I set the bar pretty high.
That's true.
Get ready for a sigh.
I heard that forty minutes are cut out of this movie. I think I would have liked this movie better with those 40 minutes, because I have a feeling that what was cut out of the film were character and, like, because the film feels like it's rushing through to hit all the exposition stuff it has to the point where scenes, like, end abruptly, and then it's like, here's another scene that doesn't feel related to anything but you need for later on. So I feel like the studio looked at this and was like, no one's going to watch a 2-hour and 40-minute high fantasy movie. It's not like this Lord of the Rings. So they cut it down to, like, under 2 hours, and I feel like that really hurts the flow of the movie and the humor of the movie and just the movie, period.
The last thing in the world I would have wanted is this to be a longer movie.
Agree.
I think they needed to narrow its focus more. I do admire the idea that Duncan Jones wanted to explore the idea that in Warcraft anyone can be a hero, and you've got, like, the humans and the orcs, and they're both fighting for something good, but they're fighting and threatening each other. I do like that they tried to do that, but between having to represent both sides of that situation and having to build a world, it's just too much for one movie.
I think it's possible. I think you're right. I think it's possible that some of the character beats got cut out, because one problem I have with this movie is that, like, characters don't really have motivations or reasons for doing things. They just keep doing them. Like, there's a big, like, part of one really big subplot is the guy that I like, Travis Fimmel and Paula Patton. I don't know their fucking name, their character names.
Lothar and Garona.
Sure.
You mean Gamora?
Gamora. But anyway, like, they have a romantic subplot, and it's not, like, set up at all why they fall in love or anything. They just kind of, like, look at each other, and they're like, well, I guess we're gonna fuck now. Like,
yeah. That, like, subplot should have just been cut completely, because it means nothing.
But the whole movie is like that, where characters are just, like...
Yeah, it was a world-building problem, too. It was like the characters were just operating by whatever the rules of the world were without ever really explaining why. They were just doing what they had to do, which annoyed me, because I wasn't in on it at all. And you know what's crazy is I did play a little Warcraft for a while. Like, I do kind of know the very general rules of the world, yet I still felt like I was in the dark. So I'm really curious to know what the large majority of the people out there who know nothing about this game, what they felt about the movie.
That was me. I literally didn't even realize that Warcraft and World of Warcraft, apparently two fucking different things. I didn't realize that until a couple weeks
ago. Okay, they're two different things, like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit are two different things. They're related, but they're different parts of the same kind of...
Yeah, not relevant, not familiar with either of them.
Sure.
I'm just explaining. And I came in, and let me tell you, none of this makes any fucking sense. To the extent that I understand what's going on in this movie, it's because I've seen other fucking fantasy movies before, and this is a lot like all the other ones.
All right, do I dare ask if you two recommend this movie now or not?
I feel like if you really enjoy high fantasy and you love Warcraft, maybe? Although I've heard some of those people also say they don't like it, but if those things aren't already in your like kind of wheelhouse, then you're not going to find anything here.
I say it's not as bad as I think. I think the critics community is really making a feast of tearing into this movie. I don't think it's that bad. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and that's with only having a very cursory understanding of Warcraft. My husband, just for the record, who does know Warcraft really well and was very suspicious of this movie working out, enjoyed it as well. However, I'm aware that the fandom is very divided on what would make a good Warcraft movie, so I'm not going to be like, if you love Warcraft, you're going to love this movie. But I feel like if you're stoked about fantasy, you should give this a shot. I think that there's a lot of love in this movie. It's by no means perfect, but I think it's solidly entertaining.
Well, you probably know what I would say. Don't go see this movie, especially when something like The Conjuring is out. If you want a fun, you know, CG-heavy, silly movie, go see Ninja Turtles instead. I had a lot more fun with that than I did with this.
I actually concur. I had more fun with Ninja
Thank
Turtles.
Thank you.
Jesus.
All right,
I just realized I have the same problem with both these movies, which is that I like the CGI, like, not-so-human characters and thought the human characters sucked in both those movies.
Yeah.
We are not restarting the great Stephen Amell War of 2016 again, so let's just move on.
But Angie, right. I've become the you, where, like, I'm rooting for the monsters instead of the peoples.
Before this podcast melts down, that is a wrap on episode 118 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You guys know where to find us. Go to iTunes where you can subscribe and rate and comment, which would be great. You can like us on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. We have a website as well, popcornprosecco.com. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Christy, do you want to go first?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. That's KristyPuchko. And I write all over the web, so you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can yell at me about my incorrect opinions about Travis Fimmel at AJHAN on Twitter, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemroff. I write for Collider, and I am on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You have me to protect you.
I need no one to protect me.
Well, then.